Welcome to Hustle and Faith. This podcast is dedicated to helping women who want to analyze, apply, and amplify their God-given gifts. We accomplish this by discussing topics such as business, self-improvement, health and beauty, and my random thoughts about life from a Christian perspective. I'm your host, Latasha Johnson. Are you tired of feeling less than enough just because you're single? Then you'll love my new book, How to Live an Extraordinary Life with or without Mr. Right, a Christian woman's guide on how to survive and thrive on Single Avenue. It's time to acknowledge, address, and dismantle the harmful, limited mindset many single Christian women have internalized. Take the first step to discover and embrace the plans God has in store for you. If you want to be notified when the book is released, please check out the Hustle and Faith website. I cannot wait to share this with all my single ladies. You have everything you need to live an extraordinary life with or without Mr. Right. In this week's episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Stephanie Perry. At age 41, Stephanie quit her job as a hospital pharmacy technician to travel the world for a year on her savings. She visited 12 countries in 12 months, all on just $1,200 per month. Now she's a year-round house sitter and pet sitter who helps Black women embrace more ease by taking a career break, house sitting, or moving abroad on her YouTube channel. Her community has raised over $40,000 to send Black women on sabbatical and retreats since 2022. Be sure to check out Stephanie's book, Job Detox, a framework for Black women to stop striving and get free. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I love to talk.
Yes. No, I came across your YouTube video and I knew I had to have you on the show, but I want you to tell your stories. So why don't you tell the audience about yourself?
Hi, friends. My name is Stephanie Perry. I quit my job when I was 41 years old to travel for a year on savings. That introduced me to a new life. It introduced me to living in a way that put work in its place, where work, my job, wasn't the center of my life. And now I get to talk about that all the time, and I'm on a mission to get other Black women to live not the way that I want them to, but the way that they want them to, right? To reject the stuff that we're told we have to do in order to live our individual lives, our actual lives. And so I talk about this all over the internet, and I'm really glad to be here.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, that's how I found out about you, was because a video popped up on my feed. Thank you, YouTube. That yes. Totally inspired me to reach out to you, and it resonated with me so well. So can you tell the audience a little bit about what inspired your sabbatical?
Yeah, when I was 41, or when I was in my 30s, I was living just to make it to my 60s, where I thought that was when I would have permission to live my life. I thought that I just need to hang on until 65 or 67, and then I can retire and live the life that I want to live. Then I can travel, then I can have time, free time to get hobbies, right? Then I could live. And I really thought that that was how things were going to have to be for another 30 something years. I used to come home from work. I worked night shift at a hospital. I was a hospital pharmacy technician. And I used to come home after the shift, pull out my little calculator and calculate how many more of these days I was going to have to survive until I got to actually live my life. Until I thought 65 or 67 was when I was going to actually start living. And then I took a vacation with my parents to Southern California right after my mom retired, who also worked in a hospital. She was a hospital chaplain. And I saw what it was like to try to see the world, do some traveling in a 65-year-old body. And I thought, maybe this is a scam. Putting off living until you're 67 or 71, maybe that's a scam. Maybe I should be living today and living the life that I want. And for me, that was travel. So I started figuring out how I could travel without a boatload of cash, right? Without a trust fund. How could I see the world and do the things that I enjoy doing and now, today in my body as it was today, that with my knees that still bent mostly, right?
Yeah, right. I know, I feel like I'm beginning to get to that age where I'm like, why is that creaking like that? I feel like a tin man.
Every year is something new. I don't want to scare you, but every year is something new. Every year you're like, wait, like, what is this noise? What is that?
I know what you're talking about too.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But so I just decided that I would try to live a different way, right? Just try to figure out a different way to live. In the United States in particular, we're not told that we have choices, that we have options, that there are different ways to live our lives. We really do think that we need to dedicate, especially as Black women, we need to dedicate our lives to working, to striving, not just working, but to working harder and harder and harder with no payoff.
Yes. Right?
There's no promise payoff. There's no like, well, if you work a little bit harder now, then you get to relax. No, there's no ease in the plan. The plan that has been laid out for us has no ease. It's just struggle and striving until, you know, we drop dead and people praise us in our homegoing service. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the end. So people will praise you in your homegoing service for being such a selfless person and never acknowledge that they're the ones who killed you. So instead, let's take a step back and decide on how we want to live, because one day it will be our last day. And so I think I just wanted to make sure that the life that I was living and the individual days that I was living were things that I chose and not things that were handed to me because I'm a Black woman.
Wow. Oh my goodness. There's so much that you just said that just resonated with me right there, because it's crazy. The corporate world, it's amazing how they just keep moving the goalpost further and further. And it's like, okay, at a certain point, it's not even worth it. You're absolutely right on that. You're absolutely right. I living proof right here. I think we all are.
That's right. Yeah. Things are not set up for us to have a good outcome. The setup is not designed for us to have a good outcome the way that things go today.
Yeah.
So we might as well choose our own path, choose our own ease.
And that is so true. So true. Actually, the first line of your YouTube page got me. I'm Stephanie and I send Black women on breaks. I read that and said, yes, please. Yes, please. Okay. Why is it so important for you to send Black women on sabbaticals and career breaks?
Because right now we don't know that it's allowed. Right? We're still at a place. There will be a time when Black women taking a career break is a commonplace thing. I see it, right? That's coming. But right now, we're still at a place where Black women are like, oh, you're allowed to just quit. Right? Oh, I'm allowed to not work as an adult. I'm an able-bodied adult person. Shouldn't I work? Shouldn't my life be dedicated to work? Shouldn't every week of my life be committed to my job? Right now, we don't know. We don't know that it doesn't have to be that way. So that's why I keep talking this talk. I want us to take those career breaks, those sabbaticals, those mini retirements, so that we can spend time doing what we really want for ourselves, figuring out what we really want for ourselves and then doing it. Everyone's sabbatical looks different. Everyone's career break looks different. And everyone comes out of it a little differently. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, what I see when a Black woman takes a whole lot of time in her adult life, where she doesn't have a job, right, is that she gets to peel away some of the stuff that was put on her that wasn't her, right? The cape. She gets to take off the cape and find out who she really wants to be, what she really wants to focus on for now or forever, right? Forever or for a little bit of time. And she also develops a better understanding of like how her work has, or the work, the job has been bleeding into other parts of her life, how it's been affecting her relationships, her friendships, how it's been affecting her health, right? Black women come away from a sabbatical with a whole new perspective on work and living.
Wow.
So I want us all to do it. I want us all to do it. I hope, I sincerely hope that there is a time, and not too far in the future, where it's normal for us to take significant time away from work, because we've done enough. Like, we've done enough.
Yeah, no, I'm shaking my head because I everything that you're saying, it resonates with me. And not just that, but it's interesting. The term sabbatical and career breaks, it's usually designated towards those in the academic field, right? Yeah. Academics, yeah. Or women that may be parents that take a break, you know, to raise children or whatnot. But what was so radical about coming across your page is, hey guys, you don't need to have any of that. You can do it right now. Just and I was it. Just like, that's who I need to connect with, because I've always felt that way. I'm being honest. I haven't taken a significant career break, but you're inspiring me to do that. But yeah, you really are. But it's just interesting that you use those terms, because have you come across that?
Yeah. So I don't care what people call it. If you're hung up with the idea that a sabbatical is for people in academia and it's generally paid, which is true, a lot of people in academia get paid time to do something else or to do research or to write. If that's your hang up, call it something else. I don't care what you call it. You can call it a gap year. You can call it a career break. You can just call it time off. It doesn't matter what you call it. What matters is that you do it. Do it because it's worthwhile. Do it because you don't have to earn it. And you don't need somebody's permission to take time away from work. Having to get permission to take time away from work is the thing that drove me into this to begin with. My origin story includes having a job where it was really hard to take the vacation days that I earned. It was just really, they really made it impossible for me to take a decent amount of vacation time, you know, like by decent, I mean a week. So I don't have any qualms about telling people to go ahead and do this thing, even if you don't like the term sabbatical. Just sure. Take some time where you don't work, where work is not the boss of you, because we're not supposed to only dedicate all of our good years, right? The prime of our lives to working. Yeah. How much of that time do we get, right? If we're supposed to be setting aside money for ourselves, how about we also set aside some time for ourselves?
Yeah.
If you understand the idea of investing your money for future you, how about we also set aside some time, a year for future me, a year for present day me?
Yeah.
How much of that do we have to, give to work and take from ourselves?
I love that so much. I really do. What is stopping women, do you believe? What is stopping Black women from ditching the superwoman cape? What is stopping us from doing that?
Some women really think that's how it's supposed to be. They think they're supposed to wear that cape. They think they're supposed to be the superwoman for everyone else, and that what they want doesn't matter. There are women who believe that. I don't think they, I don't know if they internally believe it, but they live their lives as though they believe it, right? Mm. So that's a thing. We need to really just accept that we are deserving. Also, I think some people think it's really expensive or that their career will never rebound. It's because me and my homegirls who quit our jobs for a year ended up saying sayonara to traditional jobs for good. Some people are afraid that if they do take a career break and don't work for a little bit of time, their career will never recover. And they've spent so much time building that career. But that's not the case. What I've found is that the kinds of employers that you would want to work for anyway, really appreciate the idea of you taking this break.
That's a good point.
Focusing on some personal projects or not, resting, and then coming back fresh and refreshed. Most of the people you're going to want to work with, right? Most of the companies and most of the like hiring managers and employers, most of the people that you're going to want to work with. A lot of Black women feel like the cape, right? The superwoman is the way that we're supposed to be. This is what life is supposed to be, that life is supposed to be us doing for others more than we do for ourselves. That life is supposed to be martyrdom, right? Some women right now are nodding and like, yeah, some women do think that. But friend, it might be you too. It might be you too. Here's how you know. If you refuse to do things for yourself before other people, you're in that same category. If you think that a career break or a sabbatical or time off or something, doing something in a different way, if you think, oh, that would be nice, but here's a list of reasons I can't do it, and on those list of reasons is other people, then you're in that same category. to do something radical. Let's do something radical to address that.
That's a good point. Such a good point. And you know what? That's a perfect segue into my next question, which was, what are signs of a toxic environment, whether it be work or personal? And why do you believe that so many of us are conditioned to stay in those type of environments?
So here's a, here's something that some people are going to be upset about. Okay. I think anything that gets in the way of what you want for yourself is a toxin. I think, right? That's the way I'm going to describe it.
Okay.
What do you want for yourself? And if your thing is getting in the way, it's a toxin. There are jobs that are operating as a toxin in our lives just because they're standing in the way of what we really want for ourselves. Might be a perfectly fine job with perfectly fine people and perfectly fine pay, but it's not what we want.
True.
I think anything, if it's poisoning the dream, I think we should treat it as a toxin. Yeah, right. I don't think there's any such thing as a good job. I think there are jobs that get you closer to your dream or closer to what you want in your life. And there are jobs that stand in the way. For some dreams, any job is going to stand in the way. Yeah. But for other dreams, there may be a better fit. There may be something that will get you closer to the thing that you really want. And I think that if what you really want is time off, then any job in the way is a toxic job. Okay. Everybody's not going to agree with that. This is another time where then just change the label. Just like we said with sabbatical, if you don't like the way that I'm framing toxic job, just say a job that's in my way. Okay. I'm calling anything in your way a toxin though, because there is something for everyone. There is a dream. There is a vision, I think, for everyone. Everyone should hold a vision for their lives. And I think that we owe it to ourselves to move towards that vision and not hold the thing that's holding us up in higher esteem than we hold our own vision.
What was the biggest hurdle that you yourself had to overcome before taking the leap and moving out of the country?
Let's see. I'll name a few. I don't know which
one is
the biggest. I don't think I can name the biggest. I think part of it was just, I had a significant amount of fear about what if I go abroad and I just don't like it. I didn't have a lot of fear about the money, because once you figure out how to make money away from a job, things money becomes a simpler problem to solve, right? So I know today I don't need a job to make money. And so that was not a super huge concern to me by the time I was ready to go abroad. But there was the fear that, what if I just don't like it? The answer to that is, if I get someplace and I really don't like it, I just go someplace else. I move really light. I don't feel like I need to put a whole lot of roots down in a place. I'm not buying a house in another country. I'm not doing all these things that would make me feel stuck in a place that I didn't really enjoy. So I just move light. And if I get someplace and I love it, I stay longer. If I get someplace and I don't like it that much, I go to the next place, right? That really freed me up. That really freed me up from the whole fear of getting someplace and it just being a mistake. There aren't too many other mistakes or too many other hurdles that I felt like things that could really go wrong, right? The things that could go wrong, I won't like it, I'll run out of money, or I will go somewhere and get sick, right? Or, you know, those are the main questions that everyone has, and they all have solutions. They all have answers. The money thing, being a YouTuber, being a content creator, plus a coach, plus an author, means that, you know, I can make more money. If I run out of money, I can make more money. So that solution was pretty easy. And then this, what if I get sick solution, is actually a reason to move abroad, not a reason to stay in the United States. Healthcare in other countries is accessible. It's much less expensive. There's a lot more care involved, right? You go to another country, get a doctor. That doctor will WhatsApp you directly and follow up with you.
Wow.
Doctors in other countries actually communicate with their patients.
Wow. Yeah, that's a huge difference than here. Here, you're just a number. If you can get on the the roster. Yeah. It takes like a couple months, right? So,
right.
Wow.
Healthcare in other countries, which is a concern that a lot of people, that a hurdle that a lot of people want to figure out, is actually a reason to go. Because you're going to have, you're paying, even if you're paying out of pocket, you can get insurance in another country, right? And insurance could be well under $1,500 for the year. Medical insurance, private medical insurance in other places. I've talked to women in France, Portugal, Mexico, Costa Rica, Panama, Ecuador. No one is paying more than $1,500 for a year for good private medical insurance. So that's the point number one. But secondly, there is actual care. There's an actual focus on care. The United States healthcare system will, once you experience healthcare in another country, you'll really, that is a time when you'll really come back like, this place is wrong. And everything about this place is wrong. How are you doing that? Between healthcare and like public transportation in Europe and in Asia, you'll be like, wait, what is going on in this country? What is going on in the United States that things can be so good in that other place and so terrible here?
I teach adults overseas, English to adults overseas. And so I do know a lot of what you're talking about. And a lot of them tease me because they're like, Tasha, it's not right what goes on over there. Like, how do you survive? And I've actually had some folks say, there's no way I would make it over there. Like in terms of our labor laws, but you're right. It definitely with the healthcare, they're like, why is it so expensive? Because, you know, I tell them about stuff like Sicko, that one documentary, like literally your life kind of depends sometimes on what zip code you're literally living in.
That's
how
right.
Sad is that?
It's
right?
Sad, but it's sad, but it's intentional, right? Things were set up in this country that way. So there's no hope. I'm going to say in a really extreme way, I'm going to say there's no hope for things to improve, and trying to stick here and struggle and try to hope for things to get better is a way, it's an approach, but it's not the only approach. There is also the approach of, listen, seriously, leave, go someplace better. There is probably a place that fits your needs better than this place. Just like there is a job that will help you get to, there could be a job that would help you get to your dreams faster, right? There's also a country that would help you live your life the way you want to live it better. And so we can shop for countries just like we shop for jobs, or we should. Some of us don't shop for jobs. We should be shopping for jobs. We should also be shopping for countries. We should be finding places that fit our needs and help and are conducive to us living the life that we want, instead of the life that someone else has told us we have to settle for.
Oh, I love that. You just said a word right there. That is so true. So true. Yeah. So true. And that's actually brings me to my next question. And that's why we are having this conversation right now. So your video, 49-year-old and living my best life alone. And I love the question mark that you put on that. I knew I had to click on that video because I'm turning 42 this year.
Ooh.
And I am in July. So yes. So I honestly feel the same way. So why do you feel that so many people have this disbelief that it's some sort of oxymoron, that this, like, there's no way that that could be possible? Why do you feel that way?
We get pushed a message. There's messaging, right? There's messaging in a lot of areas of our lives. And there is messaging that women are not complete without a partner. I think that some of that comes from people just needing women to buy into that. There are people in the world who need women to believe that so that they can get over, so that they can have somebody who can labor for them while they're kicked back and enjoying life, right? Married men live longer than single men, but married women have shorter lifespans than single women. And so there are people who just need us to believe it. There are people who really need us to think that we need to be married to be happy and to be fulfilled. Also, I think that there's like fear about life alone. But what we forget is that life without being married, life single life is not the same as life alone. There are plenty of people who fill up your life.
Yes.
You don't have to be married to feel, to have your to have the community that we need. People do need community. Well, the whole idea of rugged individualism, right? The whole idea of being an individual person who does everything for yourself was created by people who didn't do things for themselves, right? They had enslaved people building a country for them. Yes. Meanwhile, they're promoting this idea of being a rugged individual, the idea of doing things for yourself on your own. No, human beings need community with people. That community doesn't have to come in the form of a marriage. Your friends, your family, the people you choose to become family with, right? Your chosen family, your chosen friends, your chosen sisters, are going to fill so many needs for you and are going to keep you from feeling alone and lonely if you let it, right? As long as you don't buy into the idea that you're incomplete if you're not married.
Oh my goodness. You are touching on so many topics in my book that is coming out later this year. You are touching on so many topics, but I just wanted to hear your opinion, which resonates with me so well. I knew I was going to enjoy this conversation.
Tell us a little bit about your book. Tell me.
Oh, yes. So it's called How to Live an Extraordinary Life with or Without Mr. Right, A Christian Woman's Guide on How to Survive and Thrive on Single Avenue. So it's talking about a variety of different my experiences, and it's bringing in a lot of different people in the Bible that were single, and just different aspects of how they were able to live their lives and the lessons that we can learn from them.
Extraordinary stands out to me because we sometimes, we aim too low, right?
Yes.
We aim so low in our lives.
Yes.
Extraordinary is possible. And the people who are living extraordinary lives are no more deserving than me, you, anybody else.
Exactly.
They're not living extraordinary lives because they deserve it more than us. You'll tell us later, but I'm guessing some of it has to do with them being willing to step out on faith a little bit. But it's not about being more or less deserving. And so if you feel like you've been aiming too low, well, we can't wait for your book to come out.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, it's going to be out later this year, but I am so excited about it too, because I just, it's a narrative that a lot of people, in my opinion, have this misconception. And we need more people like you and me out there. Hey guys, and I'm not downing marriage in any way, shape, or form. My parents had a very long marriage before my father passed away. And it's just, you know, we all have different lives, and I'm not going to put my life on hold until I find Mr. Right. It's like, you know, I don't buy into that whole concept of living in anticipation. I don't buy into that. You need to live now. Enjoy your life now, you know? So that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to write this book. So yeah, I saw your YouTube video. I was like, oh, my goodness, I gotta talk to her.
I'm so glad you did. Yeah, that magic number living, nobody wins. There's nobody wins. Just like me trying to wait until I'm 65 or 67 to start living. That's no less damaging to a person than saying, I'm going to wait until I'm married to start living or enjoy my life or seeing the world or whatever your thing is.
Yeah.
When you put off the good in life today, you're wasting valuable, precious time.
So true. So true. So true. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to connect with you, because I started binge watching all your other videos. And so I want to dig a little bit more into the house sitting. Like, how did you get into that? You know, what's your favorite house sitting gig and why?
Yeah, so house sitting is a wonderful way to see the world or just see your city. I've house sat since 2017. I recommend to anybody who's a friend to animals. Most house sits are pet sits. There are house sits that are not pet sits, but for the most part, house sits are pet sits. And you get to stay in somebody's lovely home and swim in their swimming pool, which is a requirement for me, right? I'm like, you have a pool, I'm coming. I use house sitting to travel wherever I want to be, right? So last summer I spent the summer in Palm Springs in the summertime was not the smartest choice. I want to say it was really
I was gonna say hot and muggy, I would think. No, like
it was really dry. I was in Palm Springs, California in the desert. It was really dry.
My
phone one day was just like, I give up, it's too hot, I'm not going to function the rest of the time, thank you. So it's really hot. But I've done some house sits in some beautiful places. I've house sat in the Netherlands at springtime when the flowers were blooming. which was when I learned that flowers actually grow on a farm in a field. I thought all flowers grew in greenhouses for some reason. But you can, just like in Delaware, when you drive past all the cornfields, in the Netherlands, in springtime, you just drive past tulip fields and hyacinth fields, just as far as your eyes can see. Wow. It's been a wonderful way to see parts of the world that I never even thought I was interested in, and to check off some things that were on my list of to-dos, right? It's check off some places that I really did want to go to. It's been amazing. A fantastic way to travel. And I found out about it seriously just by Googling, how do you travel with no money? Because I'd used up all my money. And I was like,
get out of here. Are you serious?
I Googled, how do you travel with no money? And a blog post from Nora Dunn came up. And she had done a couple of house sits. I don't even think she was house sitting all the time, but she had done a couple of house sits, and that was it.
Wow.
That was it.
Oh, goodness, that's crazy. Okay, that is, oh my goodness, I can't wait to finish the rest of your channel. Like, I just, I finished a couple of videos, and I'm like, okay, wait, I got to save something for the interview here, you know, but I'm just like, this
is a lot. It's a lot. Okay.
It's a lot. It is a lot, but it's a lot of amazing goodness that more people need to know that there are other options out here. You know, it's just, oof, it's a lot. And I thank you for being one of those people to share that with us. So that's amazing. Amazing.
You're
amazing.
Welcome. You're welcome. I love sharing something that I know. I started my channel because I thought I knew like 8 Black women who would want to quit their jobs. And I would, you know, put some information on my channel so I could send it to them. And it turns out there's a whole lot more.
I know, right? Because your channel is very popular. I mean, you've got, well, what, like 160,000 just probably on YouTube or something. And YouTube alone, I guarantee you other people that are out there.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So if you're thinking that, I'm thinking this way, if you're thinking this way, I want to embrace ease. I want to take a break from work. I want to move abroad, but it makes me kind of a weirdo. Know that it doesn't make you a weirdo, because I have 150,000 other people who were interested in the exact same thing, right? It doesn't make you a weirdo. It makes you a person who's interested in designing a life for yourself.
So I know a lot of what you've shared resonates in this conversation that we're having with so many women. So if you had to choose one word to represent your goals, what would it be and why?
I would say expansive. I want to open myself up to more opportunities and possibilities. I want to open my community up even more. Mm-hmm. Like the community of women who have subscribe to my channel, who have come to my virtual summit, who have our virtual summit, who have joined our Facebook community, and all of that is a wonderful community. And I want to be more expansive. I want to have, seriously, I just want it to be commonplace for Black women to take a career break. And I think that expanding things in my YouTube channel, in my business, in my life can help make that happen. Expansive. It's a word I like.
I love that. I haven't gotten that one before either. So fun fact, I ask all of my guests this question, and I have yet to have a repeat, and I've been doing this show for almost 7 years. For 7 years. We're in season 7. So right. I'm like, that's all right. Right, let's keep going.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's proof, evidence that there's a lot of ways to do a thing. There are a lot of ways to do it. You find what works for you. Somebody else's plan, somebody else's word is not going to work for you. Find your plan, find your thing, and move towards that.
Oh my goodness. I love it so much. Well, Stephanie, what is the best piece of advice? Last but not least, this is our last question here, but what is the best piece of advice that you have for women who want to take a sabbatical or a career break? If you guys don't like the word sabbatical.
I'm gonna narrow it down to one. One piece of advice: get in community with other women who are working on this plan or who are already doing it, right? When you're gonna do something that is kind of against the grain or very against the grain, you need community, because there are plenty of people who are gonna tell you why it's wrong and why you're making the worst decision ever in your life, just like with anything else. Right.
Yep.
A lot of people in your life want to keep you safe, but keeping you safe a lot of times means keeping you exactly where you are. Okay. So instead, you're going to need to counteract that messaging. And you can counteract that messaging by getting in community with people for whom the other way, the way that you're moving, is normalized. Be in community with people who have normalized the thing that you want. whether it's moving abroad or learning how to crochet, which is a thing that I'm working on. When you have community into that thing and are doing that thing, it becomes a normal part of your life, and it helps you operate inside of the fear, because we're always going to be afraid. Fear is there, but it helps to put fear in its place and helps you continue to make progress when you have community walking alongside you or a few steps ahead of you.
Yeah, I love that so much. I love that. Stephanie, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I have enjoyed it so much. I've learned a lot. So much of what you've shared has resonated with me, and I know it's going to resonate with my audience. In the event that folks want to get in touch with you, how can they go about doing so?
My YouTube channel is called Stephanie Perry. It's not a creative name, okay? But it's easy to find and easy to spell. My YouTube channel is called Stephanie Perry. Come on over. The 158,000 Black women who are subscribed to my channel are awesome. You'll love us, okay? My book, Job Detox, A Framework for Black Women to Stop Striving and Get Free, is at vicarious.com/jobdetox. And then I'm all over at Vicarious on Instagram or wherever you like to hang out on the internet. And also, I am a person who likes to talk. So you don't have to feel like you, just like you were nervous about it, you don't have to feel afraid to reach out to me. I like to talk my talk.
Oh my goodness. I thoroughly enjoy this conversation. And y'all, just so you know, we have had so many issues trying to get through this conversation because my thing, my whole side kept dropping. And Stephanie is the MVP of this conversation for sure. And I just want to like personally let y'all know that. And she really is such a gem. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I really appreciate it. I've learned so much. I know everyone else has as well.
My pleasure. Keep me posted on your moves. Okay. Keep me posted. Listen, things are contagious. So when your career break or whatever happens, keep me posted.
I will.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoy listening to Hustle and Faith and would like to support the show, please consider sharing it with your friends, rate or leave a review, donate, or make a purchase at our shop starring You Crew. Remember, if you're everything to everyone, then risk being no one. You never know who you will inspire. See you in the next episode.